You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. As we close in on the California primary, we are working to interview all the candidates for governor. Currently, there are 8 vying to lead the state, 2 Republicans and 6 Democrats. About an hour ago, former state controller Betty Yee announced she is suspending her campaign. So far, we've sat down with Yee and former mayor of Los Angeles, Antonio Villaraigosa. And to be clear, when you hear their responses and our interviews, they are unedited. You might have strong opinions about their beliefs and platforms, which is a good thing, because our goal is for you to get an authentic sense of how each candidate views California's most pressing issues and what they would do if elected. Today, we are airing my conversation with Riverside County Sheriff Chad Bianco. I sat down with him on Friday. The Republican has been leading in the polls, regularly placing in the top 3. And as you're about to hear, he sees a lot of problems with California and explains how he wants to take the state in a different direction. Sheriff Bianco, thank you so much for taking the time with us.
You're welcome.
So you have been with the Riverside County Sheriff's Office now for more than 30 years. You have been sheriff since your first election back in 2018. What drew you to law enforcement?
I have to be very, very honest. It was not anything that I grew up thinking I was going to get into. It was conversations with a coworker who was putting himself through an academy, a sheriff's academy, and we were talking about what was happening and all those things. And then as a young man with a young family, it was the pay and benefits that were more than what my current job at that time had. And it sounded intriguing. So I quit my job. I put myself through a sheriff's academy. And from day one, I knew that was what I wanted to do. I've been hooked ever since. I'm in my 33rd year now, and I couldn't be more happy with my career choice and how things have ended up.
Yeah, I mean, from that academy to leading as sheriff, you know, one of the largest counties in the state and a growing county at that. How does a career in law enforcement prepare or qualify you to become governor of California?
I think it uniquely prepares me, especially for what we're suffering from in California. We're suffering from unbelievable crime. Now we're learning unbelievable government corruption. And I believe what I've heard over the last 5, even 10 years, is that Californians are looking for someone at the head of our government that they can trust, that they can believe in, that they know is telling them the truth. And just as importantly, maybe more importantly, is leadership ability. And my position, law enforcement for 33 years, the sheriff for 8 years, has uniquely qualified me and prepared me for this, because that's exactly what we do. I have 33 years of irrefutable public service, respectable leadership ability in public service. And one of the things that we do is we are trained problem solvers. Our entire existence is handling everyone else's emergencies as quickly and as efficiently as possible, and then moving on to the next emergency. I don't need, you know, we it's almost on the job training of information gathering, problem solving, and then adjusting how you're fixing that problem on the fly to make sure that you come out with the desired ending. And that's completely different of anything in government. Government is about meetings, and it's about committees, and it's about hiring all these people. And for regular Californians especially, we know what's broken. We know how we could fix it, but government refuses to because of the bureaucracy involved. And my skill set in problem-solving ability, emergency problem-solving ability, uniquely qualifies me to move on to be in that role to fix our beautiful state, to fix the problems that are harming us, and just truly implement common sense back into decision making and making it to where Californians' lives are easier and not more restricted by our government.
Yeah, I mean, clearly you have strong differences from Governor Gavin Newsom, but I'm curious, what do you think he did well during his 2 terms?
Yeah, I get asked a lot that question, and there is nothing he has done well other than mislead the public, not only about who's causing the problems, but about how you can fix it. There is everything that I stand for: integrity, honesty, leadership ability. He lacks. you cannot listen to him talk without picking up over and over and over the dishonesty of what we live here in California. He talks now about how great California is and all of the great things he's done, but we just sit and scratch our head and say, well, where was that? Because that's not California. That's not what we believe in. And I will tell you that the proof is in the Democrat Party. There is nothing that they can point to say that their agenda and that their ideological agenda, political agenda, has worked. There's no city, there's no place, there's no town, there's no project that they can say, look how well we've done having complete control of government. They have complete control of the assembly and the governor's office, and nothing in California is going like Californians would like it to go. The highest cost of living, the highest cost gas, the highest cost of homes, the unaffordability of buying a home or renting, everything is bad, but yet they have the sole control to fix it. And it really just shows that everything that he is saying, everything that they are saying about President Trump being the problem, the federal government being the problem, it's distracting from the real problem of this agenda we've had in Sacramento that's truly been harming our state for decades.
Well, let's get into affordability. I mean, let's put the criticism aside. It's well known this is a paramount issue for Californians, a flagship talking point in this race. Realistically, what would you do in your first year to make living in California more affordable?
We are going to absolutely slash the cost of living in California. We are going to slash the cost of a new home in California because those are being harmed by government regulations. Government regulations, bureaucratic red tape, environmental activism, terrorism is what I call it, that is destroying our business environment, our building environment, our oil industry. All of those things are completely controlled and being ruined by over-regulation. There's a new study that just came out about the cause of regulation in California. You don't have to listen to politicians talk about it anymore or believe Chad Bianco. Our own government is saying that government regulations are destroying businesses. There are over 400,000 regulations through a regulatory environment that is just out of control. And as your governor, I can remove every single one of those. We do need regulations that would prevent us from being a third world country. We do have to have safety regulations, some environmental regulations, but we do not need the regulations that are the rest of the country on steroids. We should not be punished for just living in California. As your governor, I will remove all of those regulations. We will abide by federal regulations that every other state abides by, and we will give businesses here in California, the oil industry in California, we will give them the same opportunity that other states are giving them to succeed in their business, which automatically lowers the cost of living. Our home building environment is purposely created by government to be unaffordable. They love talking about unaffordable housing or giving us affordable housing, but they are the ones that made it unaffordable by basically pricing the builders out of business. They can no longer afford to build a home for the price that we can afford. It takes 5 years, between 3 and 5 years, to build a home in California from start to end because of bureaucratic red tape. We can remove all of that. We can remove the environmental terrorist regulations and restrictions that prevent growth from happening in California, and we will allow builders to build homes within 5 months instead of 5 years. If you talk to a builder, they will tell you that sometimes up to a third and sometimes more of the cost of a new home is just so they can recover the fees that they had to pay government to build that home. We have to remove those because other states aren't charging builders that. Other states aren't artificially creating an unaffordable housing environment. And as your governor, I will remove those to make it cheaper to live here in California.
Okay. If you are elected governor, you're one arm of state government. When it comes to legislation, for example, of course, you have the power to veto bills passed by lawmakers. But the legislature is overwhelmingly Democrat, meaning they have the votes to override your veto when it comes to potential new state laws. So how would you work with the supermajority of Democrats in the legislature?
Yeah, I'm definitely not going to work with them. I'm going to, because they're the ones that broke the situation, the system that we have. They're the ones that broke California. They're the ones that put us in this position in the first place. So to say that I'm going to work with them is kind of like it's not really true. They're going to have to figure out how they are going to work with me, because California is putting me into this position for a different California, to change the bad environment that the current one-party rule, the current Democrat-led legislature, the Senate and Assembly have created. And it's an environment where they do things in the dark. We are not aware of the ridiculous bills that they passed in Sacramento that harm our businesses, that harm our building environment, that harm consumers. We are not aware of the laws that are passed that make it almost impossible for me as a sheriff to keep my community safe because of this sick and twisted love affair that they have with criminals. I am going to expose the dysfunctionalness of our current government, and I am going to expose the people who are responsible for it. The biggest fear of a politician is not a veto. It's not whether or not I pass a bill or sign their bills that they get through. The fear of all politicians is an informed voter and not getting elected again. And the people who are going to continue to harm our state, that are not going to work for progress to fix the issues that are broken in California, I will expose all of them. They will not get elected again. And that fear is what is going to get them to cooperate. I mean, how strange does that sound? Is that we have to threaten them not getting elected in public to get them to do the right thing to make Californians' lives better.
But don't you need Democrats to vote for you?
They are going to vote for me because I will expose them for breaking California. If they're not going, here's a perfect example. I am going to eliminate state income tax. That is going to take the legislature to change the rules, the laws that we currently have in place. How many of them do you think are going to get reelected when I stand up in front of California and say, this is the list of legislators who want you to continue paying the highest state taxes in the entire country? These are the ones that are stopping me from getting you to have a tax-free environment in California. How long do you think they're going to be elected and they are going to get on board because they're not going to want to be exposed? I wish it was not that easy. I wish it was not going, because they could fix it today if they wanted to. The governor today could do that exact same thing. He just chooses not to. And it's not going to be that hard.
You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio. And if you're just joining us, I'm speaking with Riverside County Sheriff Chad Bianco, a Republican candidate in the governor's race. So on the website, on the Riverside County's website, your office, your bio on the website, there's a quote. It says that you engage in unprecedented change of culture to positively serve the residents of Riverside County. I'm thinking of one example that has come up in this election cycle. You know, back in 2020, following the murder of George Floyd, you knelt with Black Lives Matter protesters, along with other deputies, other law enforcement officers across the state, across the country, also did the same. How do you reflect on that moment back in 2020?
Well, unfortunately, media and spin and misinformation lead the day. And what really happened that day was the first time a law enforcement leader used overwhelming force to end riots, to end lawlessness. And we set the tone for the rest of the country on how to end their own riots and their own cities that were burning. I didn't lose any businesses. I didn't lose any, no one was injured. The police stations were not attacked. We didn't have cop cars that were burned down. And it was because of leadership at that time of how I handled our interaction with those protesters and eventually the rioters. So the whole thing about the whole kneeling is some people are being misled of to what that actually was.
You're talking about the other Republican candidate, Steve Hilton, using that in his campaigns and kind of attacking you for kneeling with BLM protesters?
Oh, absolutely. And what I will tell every single person in the entire country is the law enforcement officials there know exactly what that was. The protesters there know exactly what that was. And that was the protesters also kneeling because we were praying for the safety of the law enforcement officers and the people that remained there during that, what was turning into a riot instead of a protest. They knew it was going to be ugly. They knew it was going to be violent, the confrontation between law enforcement and the rioters. And they offered to pray for the safety of my deputies. So if you look at that in whole, I have emerged from that time as probably one of the most respected law enforcement leaders in the entire country. I don't get that position by bowing to a domestic terrorist organization that hates law enforcement. That, I mean, that doesn't even make sense together. They asked me to pray. I am a God-fearing man. I am very proud of my faith, and I'm very open and public with my faith. And we prayed for the safety of those remaining there that day because we knew it was going to be violent. And I'm still proud of that. I would never change that. And it's very unfortunate that dishonest, disingenuous politicians are trying to mislead the general public into what it was. When things don't make sense, it's probably not true. And so you can't have me as the most respected leader in law enforcement and at the same time bowing with domestic terrorists.
I'd also like you to address something that's been reported during your time as sheriff over the last 8 years. I mean, it's been reported by national and local outlets that you were once affiliated with the Oath Keepers about a decade ago in 2014. That is one of the largest groups in the far-right militia movement, ties to the January 6th attack on the Capitol. You've addressed this in the past. What is your connection to this group?
So, you know, it's very, I get really defensive when this comes up, especially from reporters who are, I mean, we're reporting this out to everybody. And even how you ask the question, you realize that the only reason you believe that it's a far-right militia group is because the left told you it was. I want to ask you a question, and I'll ask the listeners too. Have you ever read the mission statement of Oath Keepers? Because if you have, you would see that it almost word for word mirrors the mission statement of the ACLU. The Oath
But they
Keepers
did have ties to
organization.
the January 6th attack at the Capitol. I mean,
What
that,
does that
and
matter? What? No, that no, it, they did not. They had a person that was associated with the organization that was. And this is where we are so broken in politics, in news reporting, and everything else. Because if I told you that a doctor killed a patient on purpose, that doesn't mean that the medical industry is completely flawed and broken. That means that one person is. We have the far left that's saying we can't criminal profile people and say that a certain race is responsible for all cocaine trafficking because one person was a member of that race that was arrested for cocaine trafficking. It is the most ridiculous argument I have ever, ever, ever heard. And we just keep repeating it over and over and over again. The Oath Keepers organization was a group of military and law enforcement professionals that swore an oath to defend our Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic. Plain and simple, it's defending your constitutional rights. That's what it was about. And because three people who happened to get arrested at January 6th were also members of the Oath Keepers organization, the far left made them and repeated over and over and over again that they were a far-right domestic terrorist organization. It is an absolute lie. And I'm so sick of this. I'm so sick
Well,
of
we
the
can move.
division that we are creating in our country because of lies and misrepresentations and the hypocrisy of the people that are absolutely spreading it.
Okay, well then, I understand your position. Let's move on because we only have a few minutes left.
Sure.
So President Donald Trump endorsed Republican Steve Hilton. What do you make of not receiving the president's endorsement?
Well, I didn't begin this campaign, and I not once during this campaign have I ever said I'm running this campaign to be governor for an endorsement. I'm doing it for Californians. I want the endorsement of 51% of California. I want the actual endorsement of 61% of California. So I love our president's policies. I love what he's doing for our country, but I also respect his ability to support whoever he wants. And I'm not doing this for him. I'm doing it for Californians. And it's not going to change one single thing of how I campaign, the message for our campaign, because in the end, Californians are going to be the ones that are voting for me. President Trump can't even vote here. And it's not for a political party. Not doing it for Democrats, Republicans, Independents, or anybody else. This is for Californians who are absolutely sick of a broken government, of one-party rule, of partisan politics. They want someone they can trust with leadership ability to fix this state. And that's why I'm popular in this election.
I want to end with immigration in the last minute or so that we have. Of course, there's been an escalation in immigration enforcement under the Trump administration. As a sheriff in a majority Latino area. I mean, have you heard from your community about how this enforcement has impacted Riverside County? What is your view on the Trump administration's immigration enforcement? People being picked up at immigration court hearings, you know, at work, many without a criminal record.
Yeah.
Again, you look frustrated when again.
When I am the governor, government is actually going to be run with honesty. It's not going to be run with clickbait, sensationalistic headlines. It's not going to be run with partisan politic, propaganda, and absolute lies. The only reason that is happening.
Do you question whether that took place?
No, I'm telling you why it took place. And it was absolutely, the environment that we have has been absolutely created by Democrat states that have put sanctuary state policies in order. And even the way you formed the question, you actually formed the question like no other president in history enforced immigration. And that's
absolutely
false.
Well, to the scale, like from what we've seen in the past year and a half, which other president has done that?
You realize the same enforcement has always happened up until Biden refused to do anything. You have to realize that. You have to realize that people were always deported. The only reason it's happened, why are you not seeing all of the things happening in the middle of the streets and the riots and the protests and people rounded up in the middle of the street in non-sanctuary state cities and states? Because they do it exactly how they did before 2017 before sanctuary state policies were enacted. They went into the jails and they got those people who are victimizing us, who are also in the country illegally, and they deported them from the safety and security of our jails, and you just didn't see it. But it happened every single year, every single day, multiple times a day, up until 2017 when sanctuary state policies were enacted. And your governor, California's governor, and the legislature were specifically told what was going to happen if they enacted sanctuary state policies, that the federal government, who has always enforced immigration, was going to be forced into our neighborhoods and our businesses to round those people up that are being released from jail. And that's exactly what happened. And here's the whole thing.
But many don't have a criminal record.
Every single one of them that they are going after has a criminal record. But do you expect that when they find that person—
Is that because they're undocumented? Is that why?
You're not— Can I finish? They know where these people go when they get out of jail. And so they have to go to that place to find them. When they come into jail, they tell us where they work, and they tell us where they live. And so when they get out of jail, the federal government has to go find them in those two places. So if they go into a house to find this person who's in the country illegally and has been convicted of crimes, deported, whatever the case may be, and they find five other people who may not have committed a crime, but they're also here illegally, do you think that they should just ignore those people and leave them there? Or do you think that they should do their job of immigration enforcement and take those people out also?
Okay.
That's what we're seeing. That's all that you're seeing. And you're not seeing that in any other place except for sanctuary state cities and states.
So you would support the continuation of that?
As your governor, we will absolutely do away with sanctuary state. It is harming our communities. It is harming our cities. It is harming our entire state, and it is making us far less safe all the way around. And the bad part is this was purposely done by a supermajority of Democrats in this state, knowing, absolutely knowing that this was going to be the outcome, and they did it on purpose.
Sheriff Bianco, thank you very much for the time.
You're welcome. Thank you.
And that is my interview with Riverside County Sheriff Chad Bianco, a Republican candidate for governor. The conversation was recorded on Friday as a part of a series of one-on-ones with the gubernatorial candidates. As I mentioned, their responses are all unedited. You can find all of our candidate interviews that we do will be updated regularly on our website at capradio.org/govrace. And a note, former state controller Betty Yee suspended her campaign this morning. The race is now 6 Democrats and 2 Republicans. Still ahead, you can support a local youth organization for the price of a cup of coffee. Cafe Paso is providing young people with hands-on training and raising money for programs all at the same time. You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Vicki Gonzalez. We're back in just a moment.